By what authority? By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? By what authority? By what right? By what calling? By what commandment? By what ground? By what reason? Upon what reason? By what right? Jesus, are you doing these things? Are you healing these people? Are you teaching this philosophy and this interpretation of the law? By what right and by what authority are you, Jesus, contradicting Moses and contradicting the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes? By what authority, Jesus, are you teaching and doing these things? By what authority? It's a good question. And it's a question that you and I hear today as well. By what authority do we proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do we live a Christian life? Do we come to church? By what authority do we say, "In the name of Jesus, I pray"? By what authority, by what power, by what right do we do anything in the name of Jesus? That's a good question. It's related to that question, that survey that was in your bulletin this morning. If you haven't filled it out, I invite you to do so today or at some point later on and give it to me. I would appreciate it if you could. Some very simple questions that I think that all of us need to hear and need to ruminate and consider and think about. Why are we here? By what authority do we proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior? By what authority did Jesus teach, preach, and do His works? The Pharisees wanted to know. Jesus, in His brilliance, instead of answering, asked the question. What was His question? He said, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" They argued amongst each other, saying, "If we say from heaven, He will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe Him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for they regard John as a prophet." So what did they do? They said, "We don't know." They knew. And Jesus knew they knew. And they knew that Jesus knew they knew. They knew. They knew that the authority came from God above. But they didn't want to admit it, because they knew what Jesus would say to them. And they were afraid of saying what was politically good for them, because that crowd over there would have killed them. Had they heard them say, "No, Jesus, what John the Baptist did was based upon his own authority from human beings, not from God." In asking this question, in a sense, Jesus is telling them an answer. He's telling them the answer. He's saying, either my authority comes from heaven or it comes from humans. And then he gives a little story about a man with two sons. One son, the father asks, "Go work in the field." The son says, "I won't do it," but later changes his mind and goes. The other son, he goes to and says, "Go work in the field." The other son says, "I'll go." But then he doesn't go, and then he asks, "Who did the will of the father?" And of course, they immediately answered, "Well, the first one did. He went, he worked, he did what they..." Even though he had said no, he then went and did the work. So therefore, it's not just in what you say, it's in what you do that expresses the will of the Father. And in so saying, and so rightly understanding and interpreting the circumstances of that story, the Pharisees condemned themselves. For they knew what John's purpose was, and they knew where Jesus' authority came from. They knew. It wasn't a mystery. They knew where it came from, just as they would have known where the authority of Moses came from in the story from Exodus today. The Israelite people were doing what they did best, griping and complaining. Moses had a really common church, if you will. They were griping and they were complaining. We're hungry, we're hot, we're tired, we're thirsty. You brought us out into the desert here to die of thirst, us and our family and livestock. And Moses goes to God and said, they're grumbling, they're upset, they're mad. They've gone and talked to the PPR chair. They're really angry at me. And God says, go and stand on the rock. And take the staff and take some elders and strike the rock. And water will flow forth. And God was standing on that rock. And Moses went and stood and struck. And the water came forth. It wasn't really what Moses did. It wasn't striking the rock that caused the water to flow. It was what God did, what God's word said. In other words, Moses struck the rock because God told him to do it. The authority of Moses in striking the rock and the authority of the water to come forth from the rock comes from God. Same place as the authority for John the Baptist or the authority for Jesus or the authority for you and me. It comes from God. We see in the hymn that Paul quotes today to the church at Philippi. It's called the Christ Hymn. It's one of the oldest hymns in the New Testament. It predates Paul's ministry by 10 years at least. It's a description not just of what Jesus did, who Jesus was. It's a description of who Jesus is. After all, we do not worship an historical Jesus. We do not worship a Jesus of history. A great wise teacher, a rabbi from Nazareth who traveled amongst the people of Palestine and preached about God's love and taught them about how to overthrow the Roman Empire. We don't worship a philosopher or a teacher of history. We worship not a dead teacher or rabbi, a dead historical Jesus. We worship a living Jesus, a living Lord, a living teacher, a living rabbi, a living philosopher, a living Lord, a living God and King. Not just someone who lived on the earth and taught good things and then died, but someone who is alive today. In the church over the last 100 years, there have been groups of scholars and theologians who have periodically tried to uncover the historical Jesus, the Jesus of history, the Jesus who is behind the gospel stories in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Jesus who really lived and really got dirty and really taught and really died as a criminal prisoner of the Roman Empire. These scholars and theologians have gone through and they voted on this verse is from Jesus, but this verse is not. And this verse is from Jesus. And this other verse, it's not really from Jesus. And this verse over here is kind of what Jesus said. And this verse over here really isn't what Jesus said. But this verse right here is what Jesus said. And they go through and they take a highlight and they go through and they mark through all the things that Jesus said that they can be confirmed about. And it comes out to be a very tiny collection of things. The rest of it, they throw out. And the Jesus that they tend to come up with is the Jesus they started out looking for, usually. You shall know the character of scholars by the Jesus they uncover. That's one of the ways to look at the search for the historical Jesus. And I am convinced that this search is mistaken. Because we do not worship an historical Jesus. We worship the living Jesus. Not just who Jesus was, but who Jesus is today. Right here. In the pew next to you. Not just the Jesus who taught his disciples and then died, but a Jesus who taught his disciples, died, rose, and is here now. This living Jesus was asked, by what authority do you do these things? And Paul said, this living Jesus, God gave up that thing, that godness, but didn't give up being God, to become human too. And by the authority of the Father, he did the things that he did. He taught what he taught, and he died and was raised. By what authority? By what authority did Jesus do what he did? Teach what he taught? By the authority of the Father. And so we today, therefore, do what we do and teach what we teach and proclaim what we proclaim and live the way we live, not because of some just dead historical philosopher rabbi from Nazareth, but because that philosopher rabbi from Nazareth, who was God, is alive today. What makes the church the church? Why are you sitting in those pews right now? Are you a Christian just because you want to escape an eternal barbecue and have candy in the afterlife? Are you a Christian just so that you can go to heaven? If that's true, let's have deathbed confessions instead. Let's all go to Vegas right now. Because living becomes irrelevant if that's the purpose of Christianity. My brothers and sisters in Christ, what Christianity is about, what our authority is based on, is the living, real, and abiding presence of Jesus Christ here today. Not just some historical figure, not just the sweet by and by that we will go to in the afterlife, but the abiding presence of Jesus here today and now, the eternal presence which begins not in the afterlife, but today. Here and now, our authority, the authority of the name of Jesus, at which every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess. Our authority in the name of Jesus is based on the fact that He is here now. He is God Almighty present with us today. And yes, He taught and lived and died and was raised. And yes, He will carry us into glory. But the life that we live today is a life of the grace of God, the proclamation of the good news, a life that proclaims it not just with the lips, but with the body, with the whole being. That's where our authority is rooted, in Jesus Christ, in the Word of the Father spoken and incarnate in human flesh and raised into glory. That's our authority, the same as Moses, same as Jesus. So we too have that authority. Every time we pray in the name of Jesus, we are proclaiming the stamp of Christ our Lord. The authority of Jesus rests with this prayer. Wow, that's power. Wow, that's authority. By what authority? By the authority of Jesus. Today, as we remember our baptisms, I ask that you consider very carefully why you are here. What are you here for? Why are you a Christian? What are you called to do as a Christian? I ask you to consider, why have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is it just to get out of that barbecue at the end of time? Or is it to live with Him today and tomorrow and forever? Give some thought, some prayerful thought and consideration. to the question, by what authority? Give some thought and prayerful consideration as we come to the sacrament of baptism. Oh, and if you have a chance, fill out that survey. I appreciate it. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to take out your hymnals and turn over to page 34. And if Farron and Rebecca could come forward. And Pam. Stand here. Huh? He's tall. I don't think he'll fit in here. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? Will you, who sponsor this candidate, support and encourage him in his Christian life?
I will.
Do you, as the body, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this person now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this person with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his trust of God and be found faithful in his service to others. We pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walk in the way that leads to life. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the whole Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand.